your reality can seem like a dream. It can seem like what you are experiencing is different from what your actual reality is. But that's what the Lord has promised. Actually, in the God's Word translation of Psalm 126, it says in verse 1, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming, it says. Then it says, then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with joyful songs. Then the nations said, the Lord has done spectacular things for them. I like that. The Lord has done spectacular things for them. Look at that. The Lord has done spectacular things for them. And then he says in verse 3, the Lord has done spectacular things for us, and therefore we are overjoyed. He has done spectacular things for us. Because spectacular means a spectacle, means what God does in your life makes you a spectacle, makes you a display, sensational. It's miraculous. It's almost like you are set up on a pedestal and everyone, that's what happened with them. It says the nations, that's the people who saw them, said, wow, the Lord has done spectacular things for them. So let me ask you, what could happen in your life to that degree that would make it seem, and it would make it appear both to you and to people that observe you, that the Lord has done spectacular things in your life? Just imagine that for a minute. No matter how blessed you already are, I'm sure there's still an extent, there's still a limit, there's still a push, there's still a level of the blessing of God that you and I can experience in our lives that can be in the realm of the spectacular. No matter how blessed we are right now, that even we ourselves will go half, like it would be amazingly amazing. We'll be taken over by amazement. We'll be going ha. No matter how blessed you already are, I didn't say you have to be hungry for this to happen in your life. I didn't say you have to be broke. I didn't say you have to be sick. I didn't say you have to be in a bad place. No. But the Word of God is telling us that regardless of where we are, we can experience the spectacular of the Lord in our lives. The spectacular. You know, the spectacular things of God are also unconventional. And sometimes they are very sudden. Sometimes they confound natural human thinking. Because, like the expression goes, they are too good to be true. And I want to repeat again, I don't want you to get used to this notion of God blessing you as his child to an extent that it feels like it's too good to be true. It doesn't matter what your neighbor is experiencing or what your neighbor thinks. It does matter what you believe. And I want to encourage you tonight to believe the Word of God, that God can do the spectacular in your life. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to look with me at Amos. Well, let me just read it because I'm sure you don't have the Message translation of Amos chapter 9, verse 13. But listen to what it says. It says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast that your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. That definitely sounds like a spectacular thing. That sounds like unconventional. And it definitely sounds sudden. It says it won't be long. Things will happen so fast, your head will swim, one thing fast on the heels of the other. you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Do you know, child of God, you can get in a place, you can get into a place in life where scriptures like that just seem like ridiculous to you. You could hear scriptures like that from translations like that, from versions of the Word of God, and in your mind you could go, but that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Things are going to happen so fast, my head will swim. One blessing on the heels of the other. How is that even possible? Exactly. But it is very important as people of God who know Him and who know how He works and who know His Word, very important that we come into a place of expectation. I'm talking to you about getting ready. Get ready. That's what I'm talking about. Get ready. With exclamation mark. Get ready. What are the things that we can do to prepare ourselves to get ready for the promises of God to be fulfilled in our lives? Certainly, the promises of God are not going to be fulfilled in our lives if we're just sitting around and we're just, well, maybe not, who knows what God may do. Certainly, that's not going to provoke the blessing of God that's been promised in us. That definitely is not, it's not going to. You've seen this scripture. Go back with me to Psalm 126. So in the first part where he talked about the Lord turned the captivity of the children of Israel, of Zion, God's people, says we were like them that dream. He says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said amongst the brethren, amongst the nation, the heathen, sorry, the Lord has done great things for them. And the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And in that last verse, it says, they that sow in tears will reap in joy. So right there, you can see there are ways to get ready for this spectacular harvest that the Lord wants to bring into our lives. Certainly, in that scripture, it tells us right there, in the Amplified, it says, he who goes forth bearing seed and weeping, they are weeping because of their need for the precious supply of grain that they have for sowing. These seeds that they have, that they are sowing, are so precious to them. And so in weeping, they are expressing the depth of their need for this precious supply of seed. How valuable, how precious this supply of seed is. And yet in the same breath, he says that these same people, because they sowed and they had this precious supply of seed given away sacrificially, he says that these same people will come again with rejoicing, bringing their harvest. Sheaves means harvest. These people will come back with rejoicing, bringing their harvest. The harvest can definitely be likened to the spectacular that the Word of God promised. That harvest can be likened to your dreams coming true. And I know sometimes when we minister on messages like this, immediately many people can think of, you know, harvest of finances, harvest of a new job, harvest of material benefits, harvest of some increase in their lives at their job. But if that's the harvest that you're standing in line for, definitely that's the harvest that the Lord has promised. And that's definitely a harvest that the Lord will bring into your life if you fulfill His word. But I don't want you to limit God in your mind. I don't want you to just think of one area of harvesting. As you know, harvesting cuts right across every area of the human experience. Harvesting simply means reaping something from seeds that were sown. That's all it means. Harvesting simply means reaping something in multiple dimensions from seeds that were sown. What is the something that is reaped can be different, can vary from one individual to the other. But certainly the harvests of God are not just limited to financial benefits. Yes, finances are definitely a part of it. Increase in different areas of our lives, definitely a part of it. But when he's talking here about these people bearing precious seed and crying as they sow those seeds, it's not just talking about material things. It's not just talking about money or seeds of that nature. But he's also talking about the most precious things in our lives. What are we learning? What are we learning in this period? Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. There are a lot of people who would say, yes, I believe God will do great things in my life, but then they're not ready. There are a lot of people who say, yeah, I believe, yeah, God is going to come. I believe he's going to fulfill his word just like he spoke, but then they're not ready. There are some who, like the five virgins, if you've heard about the story of the five virgins in the book of Matthew, where everybody was waiting on the bridegroom, and five of them, the Bible calls them wise. They were wise virgins. Why were they wise? Because they got ready. They got their lamps. In addition to the lamps, they had oil, and they had an abundant supply of oil. So that cost them something. To get that oil cost them something, because if it did not cost them something, all 10 of them would have gotten this oil, but only 5 of them did. So 5 of them made preparation. 5 of them went out and got the supplies that they needed. 5 of them thought to themselves, well, I'm not just going to get enough sufficient oil for my lamp for a couple of hours. I'm going to get sufficient oil that can last me quite a while, just in case it takes a little bit of time for the bridegroom to show up. That was some sacrifice. They took the time to go get the supply. That supply of oil cost them something. To even sit down and ponder it and to think about it and to make that kind of preparation, it costs you something. It costs you something. That doesn't just happen just like that. No, it does cost you something. And every harvest that the Lord has ordained for our lives, every harvest that has been prepared for us, is harvest we must prepare to reap. It's harvest we must prepare to reap. And one of the first keys, one of the first requirements for reaping a spectacular harvest is sowing. Sowing with tears. Sowing with tears. Sacrificial preparation. Sacrificial investment of the valuable things of our lives to put us in position like the five wise virgins to reap a spectacular harvest. We certainly don't know the dimension of the harvest that God is going to bring into our lives. We certainly don't know. We have no way of predicting exactly when and exactly how the harvest that God has promised us will come into our lives. One thing we do know, though, is if we are going to reap a spectacular harvest, then we must sow in tears. There must be a measure of preparation for that harvest where there is a cost, there is an investment out of our lives of the precious and valuable things that belong to us that we put out for in regard to expectation to reap that harvest that the Lord has promised us. You're not going to go out to the field and then expect to reap a bountiful harvest when you did not put any seed out there, when there were no sacrifices. I mean, this cuts right across every area of our lives. Let's just talk about something as simple as a student wanting to reap a harvest of success. If you don't sow in tears, sacrificially, make investments of hard work and preparation. Even if the Lord had this mighty, spectacular harvest for you, you couldn't reap it because you did not put anything in the ground. God's harvest is definitely not going to necessarily be at the same level of our seeds or of the seeds that we sowed. He wants to do the spectacular. But in order for God to make us that display, in order for God to do that sensational thing, that miraculous thing in our lives, there's got to be some seed put out there from us. There's got to be some seed. There's got to be some seed, some sacrifice. There's got to be some investment of the precious things of our lives. What is precious to a student is the time invested in preparing, studying, working hard, doing everything that the teacher said to do, being available, stretching themselves. That costs you as a student. But then, if you are a student, a covenant student, a child of God, who has this promise from the Lord, you can be sure that in no time, the Lord is going to show up and is going to do something spectacular in your life. He's going to do something spectacular to the point where you look at yourself and say, ha! I know I worked a little hard, but the hard work that I did, that I think I did, does not in any way compare at all to the measure of this harvest that God is bringing into my life. So we have to get ready. If the Lord is going to fulfill our dreams, if the Lord is going to bring a mighty harvest into our lives, if we're going to enter into a level of unprecedented blessings, if we're going to enjoy the spectacular workings of God in our lives, we have to get ready. And like I've just told us tonight, one of the biggest ways we get ready is through sowing in tears. There have to be seeds that are sown in tears in our lives. There have to be things that make us uncomfortable. There have to be things that stretch us. There have to be investments out of our lives that seem so unreasonable because the average person is not doing it. The average person is like the other virgins who didn't have the oil. They didn't have the extra supply of oil. There have to be things, major investments and major preparations in our lives that the average person is not involved in, is not engaged in. If we're going to experience the spectacular working of God, if we're going to see the mighty move of God, if what the Lord promised in Amos chapter 9 verse 13 is going to come into our lives, then there's got to be a mighty investment out of our lives. There have to be seeds that are sown in tears. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So one of the first things I want us to keep in our spirits tonight, a commitment to giving God the best seeds of our lives. So crucial, so important. A commitment to giving God the best seeds of our lives. Let me ask you, what are the best seeds of your life? I know what the best seeds of my life are. I know. And you do know what are the best seeds of your life. When I talk about the best seeds of your life, the best seeds of my life, I'm not talking about things that we don't possess. I'm not talking about something that Brother John has, but that I don't have. No, God is not looking at what Brother John has and then talking about that as a seed for me. No, no. The best seeds of my life are the things that are precious to me. Things that I have. Things that I have the potential to carry, but that are precious to me. My passion. My energy. My talent. Are the precious seeds of my life. My time. Those are the precious seeds of my life. My money, my material resources. My possessions. Things that belong to me. Things that are mine. Well, when I take those things and with tears, invest them in preparation into the kingdom of God, then I get in position for God to do the spectacular in my life. This is what this scripture is telling us. They that sow, he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing spectacular harvest with him. Giving God the best seeds of your life puts you in position for spectacular harvest. Giving God the best seeds of your life puts you in position for your dreams to be fulfilled in a spectacular fashion. Giving God the best seeds of your life will put you in a position where it seems like your reality is a dream, but actually it is your reality. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about? Get ready. What is the first thing we need to do to get ready? To give God the best seeds of our lives. Make an investment, sacrificial investment of the best seeds. You want God to do the spectacular in your life? You want to wake up one morning and look around your life and say, how did this happen? How did I get here? How did I arrive at this point? Number one, give God the best seeds of your life. Don't make a mistake. Don't allow the enemy to confuse you. Many times when believers think seed, they are always thinking money. Yes, money is a seed, but then money is just one aspect of the seeds of our lives. I've just told you, your passions, your energy, your talent, your time, your money, your material resources, your possessions, the things you own, when you sacrificially invest those in preparation for the harvest of God in your life, then you are getting ready. Then you are getting ready. To put yourself in position because you expect that the Lord is going to visit you and you know that the Lord is going to increase you, to put yourself in a position where you are acting as though the Lord already blessed you, that is getting ready. To serve him like he's already blessed you. To praise him like he's already blessed you. You can look at things around your life and maybe you're sad and you're upset over a few things, and maybe you are disappointed over some things. Some things should have happened by now, and it seems like they are taking forever. Yes, and yet to look at those things and yet to bring God praise, the best praise out of your life, and to make that an investment is getting ready. To give God the best seeds of your life. I'm not just talking the casual seed, something you invest that didn't matter that much. No, he talks about these people carrying seeds but crying. You can carry seeds without crying. That's still not a huge investment. But when you carry seeds and you cry, when it really is sacrificial, what you are doing, whatever it is the Lord has put in your heart, and it's real, really sacrificial for you to do that, whether it's in work, in labor, in schooling, education, in preparing and training, in burning the midnight oil, in whatever it is that is a huge sacrifice for you, puts you in position, especially when you make that a seed to the Lord, puts you in position to enjoy and to experience the spectacular work of God. Amen. Now, there's a second thing we do to get ready, and that is to believe God, to expect him to do the spectacular, the unconventional, to move suddenly in our life. We have to believe him. We have to expect it. Whatever you don't expect, you will not create. Whatever you don't believe for, you will not receive. In order to get ready, We must be in a place of faith and in a place of expectation. That is, I'm looking for it. If you are familiar with the 2019 Confession from Abundant Life, there's a verse, it's one of the sections there that say God will be good to us because he's the portion of our inheritance. Therefore, we will arise and build and put his kingdom first and foremost. I have a portion, a right, and a memorial in God, and something good is about to happen to me. I am looking for it, expecting it, and I'm getting ready for it. Hallelujah. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. Looking for it, expecting it, and getting ready for it. Hallelujah. How do we expect it? How do we look for it? How do we get ready for it? First thing is to give God the best seeds of your life. Give God the best seeds of your life. Second thing we do to get ready for it is to expect, to believe God, to expect him to do the spectacular, the unconventional, and to move suddenly in our lives and in our situation. I want you to go and read with me this story in 2 Kings chapter 7. I don't know that I'll read the whole thing. I might just read a few verses here and then say a few things. I have one or two more scriptures I need to read before I close tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 7, from verse 1, Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said to him, Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, you will see it with your eyes, and you will not eat thereof." So this is the Lord through his servant saying to his people through the king of the land at this time, he says, I'm going to do something spectacular. I'm going to do something unconventional. I'm going to do something miraculous, and it's going to be sudden. Say, but about this time tomorrow, what you currently buy for $2,000, you are going to pay $20 for. What you currently buy for $2,000, you are going to pay $20 for by this time tomorrow. One of the people who was hanging around listening to this servant of God talking said, he laughed about it. So how's that going to happen? It's like what we're hearing tonight, the Lord will do spectacular. He will put us like in dreamland. Some people will hear that and say, how is that going to happen? How? Child of God, I'm telling you, I've seen him do it. If you look long enough and if you look far enough, there are many lives that are experiencing the spectacular, the unconventional, the sudden move of God. We've seen him do it. And your life will be no exception. The Lord will do it in your life as well, and in my life as well, in Jesus' name. This man, this servant of the king said, how is that going to happen? If God even opened windows of heaven, if he made windows in heaven and rained down, he said, that cannot happen. Well, guess what? God has ways of working that man has never thought about yet. That's why it's called unconventional. It means it's impossible for you and I to put God in a box, that God can actually work in certain ways that we've never experienced him before. However, we must believe him. We must expect him to do it. In believing him and in expecting him, it doesn't mean he will do it exactly how we think. Many times God works in ways that we couldn't even think. You thought he was going to come from the north. He came from the east. You thought he was going to show up in the city. And there he was in the village. You thought he was going to come through this person who you knew had the resources, but here comes this little boy who you knew didn't have anything, and that's the one God gave it to give it to you. I mean, God can work. God can fulfill his word in your life in a million ways, in a million ways that you and I have never thought about. It is unconventional. Hallelujah. Now, in order for us to experience that, we've got to believe him. We've got to expect it. Now, of course, this servant of the king did not. So the prophet said to him, you will see it with your eyes and you will not eat of it. You will see it just so you can realize that actually God can do it. He said, unfortunately, though, you will not enjoy it. And we see that at the end of the chapter in verse 16. He says, the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. It happened just as the Lord said. And the king appointed the Lord, the servant on whose hand he leaned earlier on. He appointed him to have charge of the gate, and the people trod on him in the gate. And he died as the man of God said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So when this miracle was happening, the king, in his excitement, told his servant, he said, hey, you go take charge. This miracle you say will not happen. As it's happening, you take charge of it and make sure that there's order. Unfortunately for him, he saw that miracle. He saw it happen. But through doing what the king said, he lost his life. He did not enjoy it. Everybody went home that day carrying mighty harvest, bountiful harvest, spectacular. But this man went to the grave because he did not believe God. He didn't think God could do what God said he was. That's not your case, I know. I know you and I believe God. So it is very important. What we do to get ready is we believe God. We expect God. We realize God can do the impossible using unconventional means. He's not a man. He's not a man. He's not limited. God can move in ways that we've never seen him move before. God can bring to pass certain things in our lives that nobody had a clue he would in the way that he did. That's why he's God and we're not. Hallelujah. So hold on to God's word and believe it. If the Lord says he will do the spectacular in your life, believe it. Yes, the Lord will do the spectacular in my life. I want you to go to the New Testament and look at the story of this centurion, Luke chapter 7. The centurion that amazed the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 7. Let's read it with me from verse 1. It's just a few verses here. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read to the 11th verse. Luke chapter 7 from verse 1. Now when Jesus had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was there unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. I want you to listen to that from the Amplified. What the people he sent. So you know, I'm reading it very fast, but get the context of this story. This centurion is obviously the centurion, the very important person in the army. So that means actually he's a person of renown in the land. They know him. He's a person of authority. He's a person of power. And he's a person of means. Had a servant who was very dear to him, who was sick and almost dying. This man, this centurion, heard about Jesus being around, so he sent some of the people, the elders around him, to go implore Jesus to please come and pray over his servant so that the servant will not die. This servant obviously was dear to him. Somebody can say, how can a servant be so dear to you that you are willing to do anything? That's why it's called giving the best seed. In this case, the seed that this man is giving is the seed of compassion. Giving the best seed. Remember, it's his servant, not him. He is not sick. It's his servant who is sick. And yet, he pulled off all the stops and sought a way to reach Jesus because his servant was sick. Now, in the Amplified, it says in verse 4,
And when they got to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, he is worthy that you should do this to him, talking about the centurion. Listen to what they said, verse 5. For he loves our nation, watch this, and he built us our synagogue, watch this, at his own expense. For he loves our nation, and he built us our synagogue at his own expense. So the elders, the leaders of the land, that this centurion, this person of renown, sent to Jesus to go and appeal and beg Jesus to come to his house to pray over his servant who was at the point of death. This elder said to Jesus, Jesus, you should do something for this man. Do something for this centurion. Jesus said, why? They said, because this centurion has done a lot of good for us. In fact, he built us a church at his own expense. He built us a church. He built us a house of worship at his own expense. Glory to God. You talk about giving God the best seeds of your life. You talk about giving God the best seeds of your life. They say he built a house of worship in our city at his own expense. And Jesus said, really? Okay. And Jesus went with them, verse 6. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent some friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not sufficiently worthy to have you come under my roof. Now listen now. So Jesus heard what they said, and Jesus turned around and said, okay, I'm going to go pray for his servant if he did that. If he did that, let's go pray for his servant. Jesus, I'm going to change my schedule. I'm going to change my plan. I'm going to change my agenda. I'm going to divert my trip. Let's go to his house. Let's go pray for his servant. While Jesus is headed to his house to go pray for his servant, he sent some of his other friends to go tell the Lord, Lord, no, you don't have to come all the way here. All you need to do, Lord, just send the word. I have sufficient confidence in your word that if you would just speak the word, you don't even have to come to my house. If you would just speak your word only, and I know my servant will be healed. That's exactly what happened. He said to Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Therefore, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come near to you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And I say to one servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and he turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus, I've never seen any kind of faith like this. Someone who believes like this. Someone who expects like this. Not in the entire land of Israel. I don't have the time, but you can read it if you want to. If you are taking notes, you can note down Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. You find that story in a slightly different way, slightly different complexion is reported in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. The principle is exactly the same. And there in that scripture, Jesus was saying many people are going to come from different places, that he saw you and he saw me. And he said sometimes some of the people, the real children of Abraham, who are of course the Jews, in the kingdom of God, may not occupy such a high place. But all these people from far and near may come and find a high place in the presence of God, seated around Father Abraham. Why? Because they exercise great faith and confidence in the word of God. And because of that, they experience spectacular harvest. Spectacular harvest. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So the Lord will bring spectacular harvest into your life. But remember, we need to get ready. How do we get ready? Number one, give God the best seeds of your life. Your passion, your energy, your talent, your time, your money, your material possessions, the things you own, resources. The things that are valuable to you. Share that with the Lord like this centurion. The Bible says the elders, they said unto Jesus, this man, this centurion, is worthy for you to do something big for him. He's worthy for you to do something good for him. Jesus said, what has he done? They said to him, he built a house of worship for us at his own expense. He built a house of worship at his own expense. Jesus said, let's go do it. Let's go do it. Of course, you know, he built a house of worship, not with stones, not with sand, but with money, with his money. He gave God the best seed of his life. And he reaped a spectacular harvest. Spectacular harvest. Let's close tonight. God will be good to you. God will fulfill your dreams. How do I know that? What is the guarantee for that? What is that based on? Number one is based on his word. Number one is based on his word. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. How do I know God will be good to you? What is the evidence of that? What is the guarantee of that? His word. His word says, what has gone forth out of his mouth, he has spoken it. Therefore, it will be established. It must prosper. He said he will do spectacular things in your life. Therefore, that promise must be established. In different areas of your life and my life, we're going to look around us in just a little while from now, and we're going to go, ha, ha, ha. We're going to go, ha, ha. Why? Because it will be spectacular. It will be a manifest display of the power of God that cannot be argued against. Glory be to God. That cannot be challenged or debated. There'll be no controversy. Because the guarantee of that is worth, number one. Number two, his plan. His flawless plan. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. What's this guarantee? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some translation says, to give you hope in your final outcome, or to give you the end that you are expecting. And I don't know about you, but the end that I am expecting is that spectacular. I'm looking for that spectacular dream to be fulfilled. I'm looking for the spectacular harvest of God. And the Bible says he will give you that end that you expect. Remember, in order to get ready, we have to give God the best seeds of our lives, number one. And number two, we have to believe God and we have to expect it. We have to expect it. And what is that promise based on? His word, number one. His word that cannot fail, that cannot fall to the ground. And number two, his flawless plan. He already planned to give you the end that you expect. He already planned to do you good in your end. He already planned to cause the blessing of heaven in a spectacular way to show up in your life. Number three. Finally, what's he based on? He's based on his faithfulness. His faithfulness. Numbers chapter 23. Read that last verse with me. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. How do I know God will be good to you? Because he's faithful. How do I know God will fulfill your dreams and fulfill his word in your life and do the spectacular and bring a mighty harvest? Because he's faithful. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. I know he's faithful. I love the song we used to sing. I call him faithful. I call him faithful. I know he's faithful. Faithful he is and faithful he will be. is faithful. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and shall he not do it? Has he spoken it and shall he not make it good? God will fulfill his word. He's not a man that he should lie. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let me close. The Lord will be good to you. The Lord will bring to pass the mighty harvest that he promised, spectacular miracles in your life and in my life. He will do the spectacular, the unconventional, and he will do it suddenly. He'll do it suddenly. But we need to get ready. How do we get ready for him? Give God the best seeds of your life, your passion, your energy, your talent, your time, your money, your material possessions, the things you own, your resources. Believe God and expect him to do that which he has promised, no matter how impossible it seems. Remember, he's unconventional. Don't put him in a box. God can do things in ways that nobody, no human being has ever thought about. What's the guarantee? His word that will never fall to the ground. His plan, his flawless plan, perfect plan, and his faithfulness.